Hey everyone, welcome to Myopia Movies. This week, corresponding with a riff on Cineprov, which Daniel is on as well. Join the Cineprov Facebook page to figure out more, and the Cineprov Patreon if you want to watch it. We are doing the Jean-Claude Van Damme canon movie classic, Bloodsport. It's the movie that originally Mortal Kombat was based on, but they couldn't get the rights, so they just made it Mortal Kombat instead. But enjoy the kumite, enjoy the fighting, and enjoy the guy from Revenge of the Nerds. Thanks, guys.
Kumite, 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 kumite.
Welcome to Myopia Movies. This week, we decided to watch a little bit of fun called Bloodsport 1988. I'm Nick Hoffman, your host, and Riff Ron Center Provident Panel. We have
Matthew W. Quinn, mediocre martial artist years ago.
Hello, this is Daniel, a contributor to Popdos.com, and I also broke a kumite world record. I was knocked out in 8 seconds.
First and foremost, based on Daniel's riff, none of us would have made it past the first round.
The first round? We wouldn't have made it past the getting into the fucking ring.
So,
yeah.
What did the guy say? You have to have your invitation and prove you could deserve to be, prove you won't die. And I just imagine that they like take out a bunch of chicken nuggets and I'm just like, oh, fat guy, heart attack, and I'm just dead, right? Although to be fair, Ray Jackson, he's my spirit animal now. I love that man.
Oh, yes.
We have got to see if he was in, he's an over the top. He looks like one of those guys.
He's not. We looked. He is the...
He's Nick if Nick was a 1980s action hero.
He's Nick if he was willing to be in Chug-a-Lug House. He's in Revenge of the Nerds. So in the meantime, before we get too far into this, Daniel, you want to give the plot or do you want me to?
You know what? I can try to give the
Take
plot.
It.
It's about a man named Dukes, and they D-U-X, but they pronounce it Dukes. And he signed up for an underground martial arts tournament in Hong Kong, which apparently involves a fight... that either involves you getting knocked out or that involves getting you pushed out of the ring. Jean-Claude Van Damme is trying to win this thing, but he has to face off against the monstrous villain, Chong Li.
Who's a dirty fighter.
Yes.
Yeah, he not only fights dirty, but he's like, this is like a sports movie, so he's also like Team Iceland from Mighty Ducks 2. Like, he's won forever. He's like, he's also like, all these dudes are, of course, beefcakes. But he's also twice the size of everyone other than Ray Jackson, who he nearly kills.
Also, and he does kill somebody and compound fractures a guy's leg on camera.
Yep. Also, we forgot to mention FBI agents are after him, including Forrest Whitaker. And there's a journalist trying to cover this fight, the Kumite, who he has sex with.
Kumite. 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 Kumite.
I want to say off the bat, we'll get to this and we always end with whether this movie is better than it deserves to be. It's, whether or not it's a good movie or not, we'll get to at the end, but it is better than it deserves to be based on the budget, based on everything.
It's much more watchable than it deserves to be.
And
so many montages.
I mean, this is the second movie we've done. Like I said at the beginning, you know, we're flutzing around, we're hanging out. It's entrangling when they're fighting. Like, the fight choreography. I assume these are two martial artists that are choreographizing their own fights.
Choreographizing. That's a word now.
Choreographing.
I'm going to direct this scene for you because I, myself, Jean-Claude Van Damme, is the greatest fighter in this room. But, like...
And he's Belgian, too. He can do splits.
Yes.
He is elegant in this movie. I looked it up. He's like 27, 28 in this movie. He is phenomenally in good shape. Like, I will never look this good even in my own fantasies. Like,
oh. Pretty much everybody in this cast, and they're all men, they all needed to wear sports bras because Dude. Their pecs were just hanging so low.
Them man titties are everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Chong Li or whatever his name is, he must have been benching or doing a pectoral fly to the point his pecs come down to his belly button.
Yes.
But I mean, if you got it flaunted, man. Like these dudes, at one point, Jean-Claude Van Damme is fighting some nonsense guy who's His name is Paco, I believe. He's the Spaniard.
Oh, the guy with the dumb shorts.
And like, he keeps grabbing Jean-Claude Van Damme by the lapels, and he just takes off that gi, that beautiful gi, and he's just like, now I am somehow more elegant. And you're just, dude, it's a majestic fight. This movie is all about, like, it is the gayest straight film that we've done.
Candace isn't here, your fellow riffer on Cineprov. She's not here, but I imagine this is what she thinks of when she thinks of softcore porn.
Oh, first of all, A, 100%, and B, even in that fantasy, I'm still the fat dude who's like, oh, nerds! Ray Jackson, who is literally in Revenge of the Nerds, that big, chunky beefcake. And by the way, he fucking does it. I love in this movie that no matter who the character is, and I just imagine they went, you know, Barr, we got to shut down all these dojos. This is Reagan era. This is 88.
Is it 88 or 89?
I thought it came out 88. But regardless, we're late 80s. And I just imagine they floated around Southern California and Golem and Globus just found all them beefcakes who could do karate. Because 90% of the fighters have zero dialogue. And even Chung Li at the end says what, 3 lines of dialogue, and it's canon, so it's all dubbed. It might not have even been him, right?
Yeah, the biggest villain in heavy in the film always talks like twice.
Yeah,
and I know I've mentioned this on our Mortal Kombat episode and our Street Fighter episode, but this is what Mortal Kombat is based on. And guess what? Sudsy and I watched Enter the Dragon with Zeus, you know, former panelist Zeus, who hasn't been on in a while. Enter the Dragon is this, but they're infiltrating it because there's a, like, kind of a Yakuza mafia thing going on. They want to get that. No. This just focuses on the fights. It's so much better for it. I mean, and again, I wish Bruce Lee was in this movie, but Enter the Dragon and this, kind of on the same level for me, because I want to see the fights.
Well, first and foremost, I want to point out, I think you pronounce it Golem and Globus. It's Golan.
Well, there is a Golem. Well, there is a Golem in this movie. The African fighter who fights on all fours and jumps around.
He's like fighting like a frog. It's like literally frog style.
And he wins.
By the way,
it's always a froggy style.
Yes.
Froggy style. Dun, 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 dun. The cold open of this is a montage of fighters doing fight stuff. And we do get this one guy, like, and again, I mentioned this is Mortal Kombat, if only because the backgrounds look like Mortal Kombat. So when this dude, the African guy you're talking about, literally from Africa, is fighting, there's dudes with torches, like, cheering in the background as he's hopping around like a goddamn frog.
Oh, you gotta keep the mosquitoes away somehow.
Sure.
You were telling us throughout this movie that this was the inspiration for Mortal Kombat. Like, JCVD was supposed to be Johnny Cage, right?
He was, and it follows that rule of thirds that Mortal Kombat does, where you square up everything, and then in the middle third are the two fighters. And it's literally the hardcore third. And then on the top, you have a scoreboard and it just goes, fight. And
no, the first scene, the first fight is framed like a Mortal Kombat fight. It's the two fighters in the middle. And then there's a emphasis on the background behind them. And away we go.
And it's just, it just flows like a motherfucker. Like, and it's so funny that there's, we did Street Fighter this season. We've done Mortal Kombat Annihilation this season. This movie is absurd. The plotting is absurd. So you explained it. We did the plot, but
everything about this movie is absurd. The casting's absurd. The fight scene. Well, the fight scenes are actually pretty good because they have professional fighters doing them. But the way that they build up and what they ultimately mean is absurd.
Yeah, the whole plot is, I think that he's trying to win the kumite for the sake of his, like, not really adoptive Japanese father, but like his Japanese neighbor who trained him.
Yeah.
In karate.
That's a like 10-minute montage where we see him being trained by Pat Morita's non-union Mexican equivalent,
Lao Che from Temple of Doom.
Oh, okay, sure. There you go.
And we will say I think it's the second one. I was looking this up. He's in it. Pat Morita is in this.
Yes.
So we may have to do the second one at some point.
But Pat Morita and James Wong are in the second one.
Yep, that's right. And along with Gibb, the guy who plays Jackson, is in the second one as well. But we should mention just here, smash cut to the cold open. We have a bunch of people training. And then JCVD is paying his respects to someone who's dying. And then in order to explain how he's dying and why it matters, we get several montages, including, I assume he's supposed to be Belgian, because JCVD is very clearly Belgian. He's not hiding his accent here. I am here to steal this sword, and I am looking at the sword, and there is this other kid, and I pointed this out. It's not in the IMDb trivia, so I might be the first person ever to notice this, because apparently this is one of Donald Trump's favorite movies. But I told Baron to fast forward through all the dialogue and just focus on the fighting.
Well, now I know why, because this movie is so slow outside of the fight scenes.
So in case you're curious, on film here, Matt Quinn said Donald Trump was right.
Yes.
So they go in to steal the sword. And the guy who will become JCVD is wearing a San Francisco Giants hat and wearing a New York Giants jersey, which is a lot.
I also always assumed that Trump was a big Game of Thrones fan as opposed to a Bloodsport fan because of the incest
and the
subplot. And the titties.
Yeah,
I want you to explain everything to me with titties. You know, so come in here, John Mattis.
Well, Daddy, they're like a Venn diagram. If I push them together, then...
Masterpiece.
Yes.
In the meantime, so this tiny child comes out and kicks future Jean-Claude Van Damme in the chest. And the dad comes out and goes, I'm not going to dye my hair for this. And says, you're right. And so Jean-Claude Van Damme puts the sword back. And he goes, why is this so important? And then he cuts the brim off the giant's hat. And then, and by the way, this is all super murky. I figured it out later, but then we did. There's like 30 smash cuts here.
Yeah,
to where he's like, parents sitting around having tea. You're gonna teach me to have tea. And meanwhile, this is adult Jean-Claude Van Damme remembering stuff with the different haircuts.
This is a 10-minute flashback,
at least. Essentially, then Shingo. And him and Jean-Claude Van Damme are raised together. They're trained together. Then Shingo dies. And Jean-Claude Van Damme comes back from Haircut Palace. And then he's like, I will train with you. And I will be your new son.
Does anybody else
Yeah,
remember?
Because the martial arts thing is like father to son, but he has no son. So he's like, okay, I'll train Jean-Claude Van Damme.
This is the second time he's lost his whole family. Because my family was in Hiroshima,
Ooh, and yeah.
I had to start over, and you're just like, okay, movie. Because, like, let's not forget.
I had two families. One was at Hiroshima, one was at Nagasaki.
And again, let's not forget, Jean-Claude Van Damme is born in 1960. So that means that man was old enough to have a family in 1945 and then restart. And then still have a kid that's Jean-Claude Van Damme's age in 1960. Dude, this man brings around plague. Luckily, he ends up as an engineer in Chernobyl and nothing else happens.
Now, every time I heard that guy's name when they referred to him as the Shingo, does anybody remember that viral video from like 15 years ago, Shingo Mama?
I do.
You remember Shingo
that,
Mama?
That is a deep pull in my brain.
I mean, that's what I was thinking of the entire time, is just, okay, when's he going to start dancing and putting on that pink dress?
Shingo didn't really die. He did the Shingo Mama video and his father disowned him.
Oh, there you go.
Sorry, I thought you...
I have no son.
Since we were talking about nukes, I was just like, Hawkeye. So this is the world. Pretty sweet world, though, you might say. Round!
Yeah, and so...
Fighters and missiles, but I'm lit tired.
Oh, I remember the End of the World video.
Yeah, there you go.
Almost better movie. No, this is a better...
Yeah.
Dude, at one point he does a split and punches a sumo guy in the balls.
Oh, at one point there's like this second unit footage of him on top of a skyscraper doing splits.
Like he just like out there And they're panning around playing Enya. It's really something. Although I do want to say the song that's the Kumite theme, hashtag the song from Bloodsport. Dude, the music in this is John Carpenter nonsense.
I don't know who the vocalist was in some of these songs. It sounded like the guy who was the singer in Manhunter, if you remember those songs.
I do. Kumite!
Yeah, like exactly. It was like, Gillette, the best a man can get. Imagine that for like...
I would say it's reminds me of Best of the Best. You're the best around.
Yep.
No better side of seven. But, I mean, this is 88, so this is also, like, what, 3 years after Karate Kid? Like, we're right in that 80s, like, again, I keep making the George W. Bush, but, you like, know, we got to control them dojos, Bar. Like, this is...
I do miss when movies actually had, like, recognizable songs associated with them.
That's why you love Disney.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, of course, I'm the biggest Disney fan in the world, and I've never once criticized a Disney movie ever.
Yeah.
But it'd be more- Does Kelly have a gun to your head?
I can neither confirm nor deny that Disney is the greatest film company of all time.
She is 50 miles away right now, but yes, she has a gun to my head.
Now, Daniel, we're about to play a game. I have hired all of Nick's neighbors to make sure that you're going to talk good about Disney. And if you, for 1 second, mention a Universal picture, you're going to die.
Spiral, the first movie I saw in theaters in more than a year, like the first full-length movie. And
I'm sorry.
Oh, that was... You know what? I was just happy to be back in a movie theater.
Chris Rock okay in it?
Yeah, he was fine, and his dad, Samuel Jackson, was fine, but...
Oh, was Samuel?
Yeah, Samuel.
For some reason, I thought it was going to be Morgan Freeman.
No, it was Samuel, but the weird thing was... It was weird seeing, like, a recognizable actor in that movie.
Fair. No, 100% fair, because, you know, Donnie Wahlberg doesn't count in anything.
Yeah.
Are any of them Saw movies an episode, other than the first one, maybe?
The second one's pretty good. I like the second.
That's one we have to have you, at least, and Jeremy on, because that first one I saw once, and I was in my basement, and I was super scared. And then I realized it was all stupid torture-ish. But the first one was at least creative.
The first one's a ripoff of Seven. It's literally the, pride death in Seven?
It was. But it was at least a chamber drama. I mean, guys, you're listening to this. Tell us what we should do next. But, like, some of them weird early 2000s horrors we haven't touched. Like, we haven't done Blair Witch. We haven't done anything other than the first Scream. Like,
we did Eight-Legged Freaks.
We have not.
We have not.
We did do Eight-Legged Freaks.
We did?
Yeah.
Did we?
Yeah, with like 15-year-old Scarlett Johansson in it.
And
Black Art Bell.
Scarlett Johansson, that movie, was very important for 2002 Daniel. But in terms of this movie, speaking of which, we haven't even gotten into the female lead.
Yeah, she's a newspaper reporter trying to either investigate or shut down the Kumite, and in trying to investigate it, she kind of gets accosted by these three Arab fighters who were pretty obviously going to take her to their hotel room and have their way with her.
Right, and then they do the Blazing Saddles trick with the, I'm going to put something in your hand and grab it before you can. Except instead of a chess piece, it's a coin in this movie, and JCVD... manages to win and switch the coins out. So obviously they can't have their way with her, although later she and JCVD have sex, so hey. Although she's still wearing her nightgown in the morning, which is weird. The fact that she's still wearing clothes at that point.
You see more of Jean-Claude Van Damme than her.
Oh, I mean, his ass is hanging out of those red Speedos that he's wearing.
By the way, not only did we do Eight-Legged Freaks, but Daniel, you were on it with me.
Oh, okay.
Along with Thomas.
Ah, so this was a while ago.
This was October 2018, so we're 3 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Time flies and you're having fun.
I did see that movie in theaters back in the day. I didn't see this. When was the first time everyone actually saw this? Because this was the first time I saw this
Bloodsport. I just heard the song on YouTube.
Wait, you heard of the Kumite song?
Yeah, because sometimes I'm working, I just play music videos on YouTube, and somehow it cycled onto the Kumite song.
Cool.
No, legit. That's an awesome song to just run into on YouTube.
No, yeah, no. I was on, for whatever reason, like a martial arts movie kick, and this came up whenever, I think late college, so 2003, 2004.
Was it mentioned in the Canon documentary?
I'm sure it was. Electric Boogaloo, if you guys don't know what we're talking yes. about, which is a world-class documentary.
Yes, it is. I know they mentioned Cyborg, which was, I think, JCVD's first movie with them.
Yes, and I don't think he has lines in that. I think he's just the punch guy.
No. And that was his first leading role. There was a couple things he did where he didn't have lines, including something I think he did for Cineprov at one point.
Oh, we've done a lot of his stuff for Cineprov.
I'm trying to remember, but in the credits, he was listed as Gay Karate Man.
Well, he shows up in not Best of the Best, the one where Bruce Lee is like a guy's dream.
Yep. You know what? That sounds right. I can't remember the title either, but oh boy, that movie.
When we're talking about this flick, what do we even talk about? Like, after JCVD escapes...
He's in the army, and the army doesn't want him to go fight in the Kumite. They're afraid he's injured or something. And they really go all out. Like, they send these MPs to Hong Kong to collect him.
And that's where we get our Forrest Whitaker.
Oh, my God. Forrest Whitaker is in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing about it is, he's, how do I even put this? Like, he's a barrel-chested black guy. I kept expecting him to show up in Kumite.
Yeah,
because like he's essentially a Black Ray Jackson guy. Like he's just like I imagine he would throw. Because I mean, Ray Jackson is not fighting in like everyone else is a martial artist. He's doing like Shatner hammer punches.
Yeah, he's like a wrestler, not a karate fighter.
Yes, you're right. He's like WWE nonsense, or specifically it's ECW, but like. That's what I think Forrest Whitaker could do. Like, it's almost as though, like, if they almost had JCVD and someone else shows up and tries to take him away, Forrest Whitaker could do, like, a bear hug and then throw him, like, some sort of, like, almost like a judo move. I'd believe it.
Yeah, because when they eventually managed to almost arrest him, but then they said, no, let's just go watch the Kumite, and they're all cheering for him. Like 5 minutes ago, they're trying to take him back to America in a box.
Oh, there's that extended chase scene where Van Damme is like running across the road and like blocking them with local transit and stuff, and then they end up falling into a river at one point.
And he looks like he's toying with them, like he's stopping and waiting for them at times.
Yeah, you're not wrong. By the way, Nick, I was wrong. It wasn't Cineprov that did this. This is when we went to the Fox to see MST3K live, and the movie was called No Retreat, No Surrender.
That's an old-timer. That's a nonsense movie.
And JCVD, that was not quite his first movie. He was apparently a breakdancer in Breakin', but that was like the first... real thing he did.
He's break dancing and then breaking heads.
Well, and in No Retreat, No Surrender, I don't think he has a line.
No, he doesn't.
He's just the generic, again, bar, we gotta stop them fighters. There's a lot of unregistered dojos here.
Now, bar, we got a problem here. Bar, we got some underground fighting over there in the Hong Kong, bar.
Now, me
Persian
this...
Gulf, Persian Gulf. I'm turning into Dana Carvey. I'm sorry.
Now,
or
me
Christopher
and
Lambert.
Yeah.
Now, me and the CIA, we knew how to deal with people with piano wire.
Bar, let's keep in mind, I've already explained what happened to my hair.
Down in Nicaragua. Regardless.
Oh, yes. Bush and Noriega are ever the best of friends now.
He's going to stop the Kumite by sending them broccoli.
Regardless.
And so there are a lot of fight scenes, and there's this guy named Shang Li, who's like the heavy, and he keeps winning, often by cheating or just being gratuitously brutal.
Well, my name is Sean Lee. My dad owns the dealership.
He only cheats really in the last fight, right? When he tries to blind JCVD. Before that, he was just unnecessarily brutal and killed a man in the ring. Speaking of which, this is one thing both all of us noticed, the ring, like when they first start, it's pristine, but as it goes on, people are bleeding all over the mat, and they don't clean it between rounds.
Well, I think they tried and kept smearing it.
Yeah, we see a dude like it's a basketball game trying to wipe up the greasy shit, but it just stays.
Yeah.
It's a nice touch.
They need a Zamboni machine.
Yes. Yes, they do.
And the second one has Miyagi. It's just Miyagi with a brush, just like scrubbing it.
Wax on, wax off.
Bar, we need to get that blood off the mat there, Bar. And there was a lot of blood on that mat, especially by the end. Although it was interesting to see how that progressed, because that let you know how the movie was going. First, there was like one spot and one fight, and then the next fight, there were two spots of blood, and by the end, it was an abattoir.
Well, and I will say, too, that's what the movie gets right, which is that there's four characters that have any lines of that fighting set. So most of them are just stuntmen and martial artists who knew how to take a punch, and so... Like, it's slow-mo and it's weird, but...
We rarely see anyone's fist or feet connect with anyone else.
But they got squid face, like...
So many bloody noses.
Bunch of bloody noses and a bunch of bloody, like, teeth.
Oh, yeah, someone loses a gold tooth, and then one of the spectators just kind of comes up and snatches
it. Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh,
yeah, the Arab guy.
Oh, he bites it first to make sure it's real gold, and then he snatches it.
And like, we have to... reference the fact that journalist you mentioned earlier is in this random bar. It reminds me of the Continental at in John Wick, because like all the fighters are staying at the same hotel apparently, and then there's just various Hong Kongers who take them to the fight club, which, by the way,
there's this Asian dude with a mullet who sort of adopts Jean-Claude Van Damme
and Ray Jackson.
Yeah.
But I will say, remind me, we mentioned this when Sudsy and I were watching it, but it's the same people from Beer Fest. It's just this weird long alleyway where there's weird people like out of a Cronenberg movie, just like...
Oh, man. David Cronenberg's Bloodsport. I would love to see that movie.
Well, because David...
Is there going to be like Siamese twins who fight? Like a dude's got another dude attached to his chest? And
yes, you know what? I'm totally on board with that.
But you have to remember, too, if David Cronenberg did this, it would also be mostly Mortal Kombat. So you're right. It would be conjoined twins. And then the fatality would be to cut them in half.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Just grab one and just yank him off the other.
And then a sword would come out of the person's hand like he was Shredder, and then whoosh, and separate them, conjoinedness, right? Like, that's the name of the game.
You're not wrong. That is how that would go. Also, Viggo Mortensen would have been in the movie somehow.
And have no line to stare longingly at someone.
Also, a lot more explicit sex.
Or fights when only wearing a towel.
Don't forget to bring a towel.
Is that Mickey Mouse?
No, that's Towly.
Oh.
You don't remember Towly, man?
No. Now I'm imagining Mickey Mouse.
God, I got it. It's Funkatown.
Going to smoke some weed?
I'm going to get a little high.
You're now imagining Mickey Mouse officiating the Kumite. Oh, we just killed a man today. Oh.
And one of the refs is,
gosh, Mickey.
Two men enter, one man leaves.
Gosh, he tore off his testicles, Mickey.
Oh, technically that's allowed, Goofy.
I almost went full SpongeBob, and you can't do that.
That's the best I can do.
You're fine. Now you know, you can't be using any sort of weapons in the Kumite.
Motherfucker, I'll tell you what I can and can't use in the Kumite, frog.
Miss I'm Piggy and the Kumite.
That's right.
I was still trying to be Mickey there, but that, I guess, works with Miss Piggy.
Well, Miss Piggy would kill Mickey Mouse for dissing Kermit. Only she can do that.
All right. Well, we could almost do this right now. So Kermit versus Foggy, who wins? Fozzie?
Fozzie Bear?
Fozzie would eat him.
Ooh. I'd say Kermit.
Kermit?
We see the frog style fight in this movie, so I'm on Kermit's side.
On guard, motherfucker. What about you, Matt? Okay, so Bert versus Ernie.
Bert.
Bert, okay.
Ernie might be that one who's like putting on that happy personality. He's really a stone cold psycho underneath.
I will say though, my money's on Rolf the dog.
Oh, there you go.
You know,
I can't do a Rolf. And you know, Tom Herm might eventually be back. He can do a Rolf, but something about Rolf just feels like he's seen all the shit. Because you all want Kermit the Frog to win the battle, but the problem is with Kermit, a little weak behind the knees.
Oh, Kermit, I believe in you.
You know what, Piggy? You and I, second to last battle.
And if anyone gets in your way, Kermit, hey!
That's good.
Lose to animal.
It's not easy beating this shit out of you, motherfucker.
You know what? This would be the perfect movie to like remake with the Muppets.
It's up there.
Yeah.
Although I will say, you're only 2/3 right, because one of them later Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter movies would be even better, because inspired by this, but like, I'm going to take over everything with Bison Bucks is kind of like...
Now, that would clearly be, what's his name, the dragon guy?
Liu Kang?
No, in the Muppets.
And then Sweetums is his right-hand man.
Right, yeah.
Right, yeah, yeah. You know, Kano was originally kind of an asshole, so here I am as, you know, Sweetums, the right-hand man.
And just to
Sweetums would be like Goro. He's like the big one, right?
Right. Although, just to fuck with everybody, Gonzo would be Cammy.
I'm sexy.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Like, we've mentioned how this movie was Mortal Kombat, right? Like, that's what they were trying to license in order to make that game. And then when everyone said it, it was like, you know what? We'll make our own game with blackjack and hookers. Yeah, and forget Bloodsport.
And demon ninjas and shapeshifters and a dude with four arms.
Which would have been smarter if they had licensed this movie to the game, because the game was much more successful than the movie.
Well, because the game had a focus. This movie was nonsense. Now, I will say, it's lovely nonsense. This is
a great bad movie. That's what this is. This is so enjoyable to watch, but as you're watching, you're like, this makes no fucking sense.
It just keeps so many montages and like slow mo and.
That's a good way to describe the overall plot of this movie, man.
I mean, it takes too long for what it is. Like, okay, he wants to win the Kumite to honor his dying adoptive Japanese grandfather, but there's so many, like the scene where he's just doing the splits for like 10 minutes. What was the point?
Explain what the Kumite is. I mean, I know it's a martial arts fight, but do they explain like the background of it?
It was founded by the Black Dragon Society, which is actually Japanese. What they're doing in Hong Kong, I don't know.
Well, and they also say it's been lasting for hundreds of years. And so we keep doing it because of plot device.
Yeah, so and he's going to be like the first Westerner to win the Kumite.
This is all like twitchy hand ADD like spectrum stuff. Like, it's just like, we're gonna keep re-emphasizing the plot 1,000 times, punch a whole lot of shit, and then reestablish the plot. Like, it's like,
hey there, buddy,
have you been drinking? You want to watch some white guys fight? We got this. Just keep watching. He's going to fall in love. Don't you worry. He's going to fall in love because he's a straight guy, even though all these men are hugging.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he kisses Ray Jackson at the end, doesn't he?
He does.
JCVD does.
You know what?
In a chaste European fashion.
It's okay. You got to give him the bees. But at the same time, it's just like, we're friends now. We fought. Well, don't you worry. We love each other.
Those two, I don't think, actually fought, did they?
No.
No. They fight enemies together. They're friends.
I see.
You're friends. We're friends at the end.
Oh, so this
best
is
of the best, like seven.
So this is a Red and Green Ranger sort of thing.
Yeah, the Green Ranger
was. I'm just Gallagher fighting as the Green Ranger. I'm gonna be back.
That would have been a hell of a thing if somebody had like a Super Smash Brothers hammer in this movie.
a watermelon represents you, Mark Splat.
Matt has no idea what I'm talking about.
No.
Something with Super Smash Brothers.
I broke Matt Quinn right now.
Yeah, you sure did.
Read the thing in the woods.
You'd only...
Thank you, Nick.
You'd only get that joke if you knew who Gallagher was, but you don't need to, frankly. He's an asshole.
This is a hammer representing racism, and also I represent racism. He's such an asshole. He doesn't perform anymore because people stop showing up, and so now his brother, dressed like him, performs his old bits.
Really?
Yeah. Gallagher 2, look it up.
Oh my god.
Anyway, at the end
maybe,
of...
Maybe the original Gallagher was killed in the Kumite.
That's right.
If only...
Original Gallagher returned to his home planet.
I'd like to think that he and Weird Al fought and Weird Al won in the Kumite.
Crushed like a fatality with an accordion.
Yeah.
Everything you know is wrong. Black is white, up is down, and short is long. Weird Al is a beautiful human.
Yes, he is.
Anyway.
Yeah, he wouldn't kill someone in the Kumite.
He wouldn't. He'd Lord Raiden and heal them wearing a shinier hat. Anyway, guess what? Jean-Claude Van Damme wins Kumite. I don't know how
to Even though Chong Li tries to cheat by blinding him with sand.
Is that what that is? I know he shoved like a pill down his speedo, Chong Li did. Was it supposed to be a Dale Gribble pocket sand, or was it an actual pill that he ground up, or what?
Well,
was
whatever it is, it ganks up Jean-Claude Van Damme's vision. Luckily, he had Chekhov's blindfold in the training montage.
Yep.
So he can fight blind, and does.
He sure does.
I will only say this because Matt brought it up, but this movie is 93 minutes. 20 minutes of it is repeated future footage. There's a lot of repeat footage in this, including where we see him blindfolded at the beginning. Because remember, as I mentioned at the beginning, Old Man Crunchy is dying. And then, like...
I am so Crunchy the Clown.
And so he enters the house, JCPD does, and we get this 10-minute montage, as Sudsy says, of like how he was trained. Not even, it's like 15 minutes. And then we cut back to it at the end where he's like, do you know how I was trained to fight with blindfolds on? I will do it again now that I am blind. And no one notices that he's blind. How do you notice that the one who's winning the fight is all of a sudden like, my eyes are open, but I cannot see? What is going on?
Well, he hasn't been knocked out. He hasn't surrendered. He's still on the mat.
Yes, but his hands are out. His eyes are open and he's reaching like a blind person.
I imagine that just somehow wasn't against the rules, although I don't know how that would work because no one else did that.
There's nothing in the rules that says a giraffe can't play Kumite.
Yeah, and plus the judges are already... pissed at Chong Li for killing that guy even though he was already down. Like, they actually turned their backs on him.
Yeah, the judges and the ref both. Like,
Pontius Pilate. Just,
I'm gonna wash my hands here.
Yeah, so he pulls it, he blinds him, that's a last straw. Some Yakuza guys come in and cut off his thumbs.
I just realized I've been doing a Sam Elliott, like, blindness washed over the dude.
Well, that about wraps it up. That's the whole story. Chong Li tries to Dale Gribble JCVD, and he overcomes it because he'd been trained to fight blind. And he like gives him like what, four or five roundhouse kicks to the jaw at the end, and that's how he knocks Chong Li out.
He forces him to surrender. He doesn't just knock him out. He basically makes him grovel.
Oh yeah, he makes him yell that mate.
Yeah,
mate. Yeah. No retreat, no mate. I will also say, too, both of them are beefcakes. It's like, it's a good fight, actually, right?
Yeah.
So much beefcake. Like, we see the reporter girl finally gets into the Kumite as a date of one of the spectators, and she looks like she's hyperventilating.
Beefcake!
Like, she claims she's there to cover the Kumite. No, she wants to just leer at these dudes.
Yeah.
Kumite, Kumite, Kumite. Miss Piggy's gonna take down that shit.
Yeah, I mean, Miss Piggy, I would definitely bet on and fight against JCVD.
So, obviously,
you have your matchups. You got Beaker versus Honeydew. Beaker wins every day of the week, right? Let's see. Gonzo Fozzie? Gonzo, right?
That's a Gonzo Pepe the Shrimp.
Ooh, classy. But you know who Chung Lee is? Is Sweetums.
Oh, yeah.
Sweetums, 100%. Come on here, frog. I got you, frog.
And I assume Sam the Eagle is Ray Jackson.
Every day of the week. I will also say that, like, the dude, that Hong Konger who helps them get there, that's Bert. And then Ernie is the guy who's there, right?
Hey, Bert.
Yeah.
Well, apparently this movie's based on a true story. Frank Dukes was this actual underground fighter.
I looked at his Wikipedia article. A true story may be a little questionable.
Though, I mean, like at the end of the movie, they're putting a bunch of his stats up in terms of the Guinness records that this real guy won, like the fastest knockout, the most matches he's ever been in that ended in a knockout.
Yeah, biggest, dickest. I read them all too.
Well, I mean, I don't know anything about this guy, but it sounds like Matt's looked him up, and he's lying about his record.
Well, he claimed that it's questioned whether the Kumite even existed, and he claimed he did all this stuff for the military that wasn't true. And
so one day, if we love you enough, we'll do the Happiest Millionaire. But that's what this seems like. Like, I'm a con man. I have a song to sing. Like
about the Kumite.
Kumite,
Kumite, Kumite.
It's like, right, it's like not Frank Sinatra, but his son. Like, that's what it is.
Frank Jr., you mean?
Yeah. I've got a fight competition to fight with you. Like, this movie is nonsense. Although, I will say, real life, less nonsense than this movie.
Although, frankly, this movie was so much fun to watch. We keep saying that it's nonsense, and it is, but my God, if this were like on TNT back in the day, oh, I would have been watching the shit out of it.
Super sweet. By the way, Sudsy, you're one of my best buddies. You and I had the same exact youth. I just imagine looking back like, this is super sweet. Like, I am that guy who's like, you mean you haven't seen Down Periscope 7 times? Like, this is a movie that I saw once before, and I wish I just knew existed when I was younger, because I would have memorized all them fights.
You mean you haven't seen Tim Curry and McHale's Navy? What's wrong with you?
Master Quinn, you're the first one here. Is this a watchable?
I don't really know. I mean, it's maybe if you fast forward through some of the gratuitous split scenes and flashbacks and just watch the fights.
The Trump method.
I was going to say, that's exactly what former President Trump did. No joke. That's what he said.
He would make Eric fast forward the VCR.
That's no joke. Sudsy, where are you?
This movie is so dumb. But it's so much fun. This is what canon is to me. Every time I see that logo, I'm like, okay, this is going to be the stupidest thing I've ever seen, but I'm going to enjoy it so much. And Bloodsport lives up to that. I mean, I'm never going to put it front and center as a good movie, but as a movie to watch, absolutely.
Here's how this works. It's a Thursday, because you shouldn't be drinking on a Thursday. There's an ottoman or a side table in your house. It's in front of the television or radio. There's an entire case of beer in front of you. You set it up and you pop every tab. You put this on and you drink until joy exists. This movie is a train wreck, but it's not Battlefield Earth. It's not those bad movies we've watched. Because the point of this movie is to watch them men get feet above their head in a karate kick. And it does it, but because those liberals in Hollywood demand there's a plot. It doesn't need it, and you know what? It doesn't matter. This movie you should have seen yesterday. You should have seen this when you were a kid, because if you saw this when you were a kid, you would have beaten the shit out of a Barney doll you had. This movie is terrible.
That's why you should have seen it. It's so much fun. You've never had this much fun watching a movie since 2000 and... What did we decide? 1999. This is as though you were playing GoldenEye 64, but with punches in real life. And you know what? It doesn't bother to explain anything, and who gives a shit?
I wish studios like Canon still exist, because they would spend money on absolute dreck, but it would be fun dreck, and that just doesn't exist anymore. Not really. I mean, like, Asylum exists, but that's cheap nonsense. Canon, they would actually try and put some effort behind it, but it was for nothing.
Well, and again, like, you guys have, when you talk to us, you think we're cynical. We're not cynical people. We just want to enjoy movies. This is one that is utterly trash, but we enjoyed it, man. That's why we do movies like Bushwhacked in the future. Like, that's why we do things like Escape from New York, The Thing.
We've done Escape from L.A., not N.Y., Escape from L.A. That's going to happen soon, I'm sure.
And that's why some of the earlier Bond movies, like, they're not great films, but they're
J.W. Pepper.
They're fun as shit. Have fun watching movies. That's what this is. Regardless. Patreon.com/myopia. Patreon.com/cineprov. You know what? We like watching movies for you. Thank you to the 100,000 downloads we've had. In the meantime, we're about to start season 8. And these two assholes are with me
the whole way.
I've known them for more than a decade. They're here to help me make this happen. We're about to schedule some new episodes. So in the meantime, I'm Nick Hoffman, riffer on Cineprov. And on panel we have...
Hello, this has been Daniel. I don't have my own ASMR channel, but it sounds like Nick needs to help me launch one.
And I'm Matthew W. Quinn, and you should definitely check out my books. You thought you'd escaped me flogging my product? No, you have not.
They're good books, to be fair. They are very good books.
I can guarantee you they're definitely books. In the meantime, thanks. You know what you haven't done yet, if you're listening? Given us reviews. So review us on wherever you get us, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon, wherever you get us. We're on 1,000 networks now, and we get 1,000 downloads, but we want to hear from you. Thanks, guys.
Myopia Movies is a production of Dude Letter Podcasting. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman, edited by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Suttis. The theme song is Sheriff Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod. Find his music on comtech.com. It is registered under the Creative 4 license. Our regular panelists are Matthew Quinn, Daniel Suttis, Nick Hoffman, and Jeremy Ryber. Thanks for listening. Please support our Patreon at patreon.com/myopia. Thanks, guys.